Hey, what up, fellow Sketchers? This is Sketchbook Audio. I am your host, Ryan Sketch. Thanks for tuning in. What you're hearing in the background is a classic, as far as I'm concerned. Good Charlotte, The Young and the Hopeless. And frankly, I feel like that's kind of the mindset of our youth these days. But I'm not going to get into that. I don't care about politics, and I don't really care to talk about millennials and everything that's attributed to them. But I do want to talk about, which I've been talking about, you know, mentioning in the past few episodes, is the big hurrah that is the Geneva Auto Show, or the Geneva International Motor Show, GIMS, as it is sometimes referred to. This is a big thing. This is huge. In fact, I've spent my entire last, we'll say, 4 days scanning the internet for anything I could find that would be a potential leak or hint as to what is coming. And I gotta say, the Europeans know how to keep a secret. And that's probably because there's not a lot of Americans over in Europe or Asia taking, taking spy shots of the vehicles that are over there. However, occasionally, especially when it comes to supercars, you'll be able to see a lot of these spy shots coming from the Nürburgring. And that's, you know, because that's where awesomeness is born. And it's essentially Eden, the Garden of Eden for cars. If you don't know anything about the Nürburgring, or the Ring as it is known by many auto enthusiasts, the Ring is basically a giant track for cars to go on. And when you look at the actual map of it, it is a track. It's just there is a commercial lane, so anybody can get on it for the most part. And then there's like the section of it that you're allowed to, you know, you go, you pay a price to get on the Ring and, race around as fast as you want and do track times, do whatever. You know, as we know, the Viper maybe the Demon? I don't know. I've never actually seen the Demon on there, but Bugattis, all of the Audi RS models, probably some of the Teslas, they all go there for the chance to, and definitely Porsche, good Lord. They all go there to win the rights, the bragging rights, that they had the fastest time around the Ring. And that's a big deal, especially when you're a performance like nerd and, you know, you're trying to win that trophy or those rights, the bragging rights. It's a big deal. And, you know, these cars, some of them are getting up to like 215, 205, 215. And that's hella fast. The fastest I've ever been actually was 150, maybe 160 in my own personal vehicle that I was driving. I did go 200 in a Hellcat, and that was freaking awesome. I almost threw up in the back seat. I'm not going to lie. They put me in. Well, there was a lady. It was when I was working at Chrysler. There was a lady who begged to get in the front seat of a Hellcat. She said she would never ever, you know, get to touch one of these things in her entire career at Chrysler, because she works in she worked in quality, and paper pushing basically doesn't really give you the ability to test these products. And, you know, her company car was a Compass or something, so she didn't really have the ability to drive one of these cars around a track, let alone drive it at 200 miles per hour. So I let her have the front seat while the professional driver took us, and it was fun. I highly recommend, if you are into speed, getting in on a track to do some hot laps. In fact, actually, one of my guys at work was telling me that him and his wife bought their son, who's 20 years old, a day at the track pass for his birthday. I was like, shit, my parents know I love cars, and they've never once bought me anything for my car. So I don't know what signals I was sending to my parents, but It might have been because I crashed a few cars in my early days, and that's why they never wanted to get me tickets to a track. I don't know. They weren't racing. I didn't wreck anything racing. I wrecked them just doing daily stupid shit, like, you know, going to get groceries, and I got T-boned. But anyways, it's neither here nor there. Let's get back to Geneva. So Geneva is this big show in Switzerland, right? Or Sweden, one of the two. Geneva Convention, Swiss. This is Swiss, right? So it's a big deal. And there were a ton of car companies that were missing from Detroit and probably missing from LA and even Chicago. Here they are. They're all at Geneva showing off their hottest, latest stuff. And I've got like 8 or 9 pages opened up on my desktop right now that I'm going to go through. But there's something I wanted to do today. I'm going to try this out. I'm going to try and keep this as a 30-minute episode, but I'm going to break it down in 10-minute increments. So at the 10-minute mark, expect to hear a cut where I will go to like a little break and then, you know, maybe a commercial or something, and then start back up shortly after, go another 10 minutes, cut, and you get the idea. So 30 minutes, 10 minutes apiece, three goes at this, and we shall see how it goes. I would love to hear what you guys think, if you guys like that platform better versus me doing one straight 30 minutes. Doesn't matter. The good news is if I do it in the three increments, then you get to hear music each time I start back up. So we'll see how this goes. Anyways, we're at 6.5 minutes right now. I just wanted to let you know it's cold as balls outside. So I'm happy I'm inside right now. And let's go down this list. The first one, the Hispano Suiza Carmen. First of all, I have no idea who that car company is. So if you do, kudos to you. And if you're in Europe and you're listening to Sketchbook Audio, first of all, high five to you. Thank you for listening to this. I would love to know who my European fans are. Second of all, if you know who this company is, I would love to know more about this company. What I do know is there are, in fact, two Hispano Suiza companies. And it's really, really weird. One's German and one is Spanish, I believe. So anyways, I wanted to mention this car, not because the name is weird and it's foreign to me, no pun intended, but just because it is so freaking weird looking. It reminds me of something like a Spyker and a Jaguar and like a Duesenberg all got together and had this crazy, I don't even know, love fest and created this gorgeous, gorgeous car. At first glance, it's like, what were they going with this thing? This thing is weird. But then when you look at the finer details, like the shields covering the back tires, the crazy rally style, but 22, 24 inch front wheels, and then the Lincoln Jaguar-esque front grille. It's just a crazy looking car. And it looks to be pretty small, but also very aerodynamic, which I think is going to be really key for them. It's got a 250-mile range. Oh, yes, by the way, it is electric. And it takes less than 3 seconds to get to 62 miles per hour. That's pretty badass. But I want you guys to take a look at this car because they do show its comparison to other cars. And actually, the vehicle they're comparing it to looks to be, it doesn't even say. So look at their comparison because it reminds me a lot of a Bugatti or some really old Fords, Duesenbergs, Studebakers. And I think it's really cool. It's definitely making a statement. Is it something I would drive? Probably not. First of all, it's probably freaking expensive as hell. Second of all, it's just funky. It's too funky for me. But I like it, and I give them mad props for going as crazy as they did. But let me know what you guys think. Next car on the list, and this is a sad one because it breaks my heart. We all know how much I love wagons and shooting brakes. The new 2020 Mercedes-Benz CLA shooting brake, which is basically like a wagon with a really sharply sloped roofline. It's raked dramatically. It's a gorgeous car, especially in the yellow that they're showing it off in. But it's another one of those vehicles that we are not getting, and it saddens me. So we are getting the CLA and the new A-Class here in the United States, but we are not getting the shooting brake. And it breaks my heart because I'm a practical kind of person, but I also love speed. So when I hear things like, oh, the new Audi RS6 Avant isn't coming to the United States, I want to cry. Anyways, okay, 10 minutes. Let's go to a commercial. Hey guys, what's up? I'm back. This is Ryan Sketch with Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for sticking with me on the second part of this episode. I landed on the last part with the sad news that the Mercedes CLA shooting brake will not be coming here to the United States. And while that breaks my heart, I can have some relief and reprieve that there are good things coming down the pipeline for us United States folk. It just won't be any shooting brakes, anything cool when it comes to wagons or shooting brakes or the like. However, I shouldn't say that entirely. We still have Volvo, and I love Volvo, especially anything that they put a cross-country moniker to. Those cars just, they're so pretty, and they're things I can't afford. But I can look at them and be happy about them because they exist, and they exist here in the States. So I'm going to get off my little wagon kick here and just say farewell to the 2020 CLA because I'll never see you unless I go to Europe. Speaking of other European things that we may or may not get, the Audi Q4 e-tron. Right now it's a concept, but we all know that the full-size e-tron SUV is a thing, and it is coming here to the United States. In fact, you can also pre-order one right now. I think they take like a $1,000 deposit. Maybe your firstborn, and who knows what else, but it's not a huge departure from the full-size e-tron, which is a great thing, but it's also a big step forward for Audi crossovers in general. I mean, this thing is sharp. It's got big, massive wheels, very similar to what the full-size e-tron has. It's got that floating roof that I love. And if you want to know what I mean by the floating roof, take a look at the Compass, take a look at some like the Land Rover Discovery, Buick Enclave, I believe has one, and it's got the reverse shark fin in the back, which essentially is the C-pillar, or technically the D-pillar. So anywho, I love this thing, and it irks me that they're showing this off as a concept and not as a production model. Because let's face it, this thing is going into production. Crossovers are hot. And this thing has all the style elements of what Audi is known for, but also what Audi will be known for. And that, of course, is going to be electric cars. But how do they make electric cars cool? And how do they make them appeal to all the people who are really enthusiastic about the S lines or the S or the RS models? Which, of course, pretty much every Audi has an RS variant. So could this wear such a badge? Absolutely. We already know that electric cars have intense amounts of torque and it's instantaneous. So it doesn't take much to make this thing fast, right? And then a little bit of extra flair, which I don't even see where you would put that extra flair, but this thing could easily become an RS, even an S model. And I'm looking forward to it. I just hope that Audi realizes that the United States is probably their biggest purchaser of crossovers. So they need to bring this over to the United States. And I'm loving the interior. Please go online, go to Autoblog or go somewhere. Just go to Geneva's website, and Geneva International Motor Show. Go to their website and take a look at the interior because it speaks Audi's interior design language now, but it throws in all these added touches to make it futuristic but achievable. And I love the Alcantara suede everywhere. I'm a huge fan of Alcantara suede. Please put that on every surface. It just makes me tingle inside. And would you not agree? Does Alcantara suede not feel great? If you could wear Alcantara suede without without a sense of chafe and overheating around your nether regions, would you not want that? It feels so much better than silk, I think. It is warming, right? You know, you don't want to lay in a bed of Alcantara suede, but if you were just to lie down on it for a brief moment, it just feels so good. I love it. And having it in a car everywhere is great. It is a little bit of a pain in the butt to clean. I will admit that. Leather comes out so much better. But leather isn't as soft and as sexy as Alcantara suede. I'm just saying. So anyways, take a look at the interior. There's some parts about it that it's weird because there's so much conceptual, but there's also a lot of production. And sometimes I think they kind of clash, and obviously in a bad way. But I can see where they're headed. I think they're going in the right direction. Unfortunately, they decided to use the weird push buttons for the park reverse neutral drive. I hate that. I would much rather have the dial or some sort of shift knob. And come on, the shift knobs don't even have any interaction with the gearbox other than signals being sent to it, much like your brain to the rest of your body. There is no mechanical connection between the two things. And I don't like these push buttons. GMC has been making a switch to all push buttons, for better or for worse. Lincoln did the same thing a few years back, and theirs is super confusing, and I have also pushed other buttons that I wasn't supposed to or wasn't meaning to instead of shifting into reverse or whatever. So there's a bit of a learning curve, and that's definitely something you want to take into consideration when you're designing a car. Please be mindful of A, who's going to be using this kind of vehicle? B, the age range and just the overall functionality. And okay, so I get the fact that by putting the buttons, you created a whole ton of space, unused space that is a blank canvas for you to do whatever you want. It looks like Audi took that as a way to have this really cool sliding drawer underneath the armrest, plus this very cavernous cubby hole. But do they even need that? You could have this tunnel-less centerpiece and the seats could be connected in some way and then you could just put the cup holders there. I don't know. I think they could have gone a little bit further and I think we can go further in production models. It's just, it's not quite there yet. But I do like it. There's nothing against this car. I do like it and I'm very excited to see this. I really hope they make this car, especially in this blue. The blue with the gloss black cladding, oh, it just looks great. They've got those big, beefy, punched-out shoulders that they showed several years back on the Audi Quattro concept, and now has just proliferated throughout their entire portfolio. I'm okay with that. One other feature that I really love, and it's a small detail, tiny little thing, but the third brake light is lower than where it normally would be, and it says e-tron. The badge is illuminated, and I love it. A lot of companies are doing the illuminated front grill badge, which actually it looks like Audi did not take that cue and illuminate the four circles. What they did do is illuminate the lower piece, which in production form, that's probably going to be where the license plate goes, but that's illuminated. It does say e-tron. They could have also illuminated on the rocker panel, the side sills or the skirt, whatever you want to call it. It could have illuminated that e-tron too. Those are the little things that just really pop out to me. It's just clever design and they work really well for a vehicle, especially an electric vehicle. Now you might not do that on say a Jeep or a Ford F-150 or something that doesn't really, or a Charger Hellcat. Although to be fair, I would love to see a Charger Hellcat logo illuminated. There is a company that makes the SRT logos illuminated. But yeah, just the little touches like that I think go a long way, especially in concept form. Come on, should have done it. But anyways, moving on, I'm going to just touch on this one briefly because I do love the new Blazer, and it looks like Chevy has decided to turn the Trax into a whole different direction and basically clone the Blazer and shrink it. I think it could work. I really do. The Trax now is very, it's very boring. It's very bland. It's very has been, and it got old quick. They did do a simple update and the refresh of the front end and the taillights, and I think that worked out pretty well. Still didn't do anything to really get me into that car, but now seeing this as a baby Blazer, I dig it, and I wouldn't mind owning one. I'm curious if it's going to be a hybrid, and here's why, because let's move forward. Jeep actually finally showed off something really cool. Now, I know we can all get super excited for a Trackhawk any day, but they finally started to bring together what they've been talking about for so long, and that is hybridization and plugins. And we now have fruit from their efforts, and we have a Jeep Compass and a Jeep Renegade. It looks like right now just the Trailhawk, but with a hybridized platform. Basically, they put an electric motor and batteries on the rear axle, and because it's a front-wheel drive anyways, now they don't have to have that center drive shaft that goes from the front to the rear. They just have an electric motor in the back, a gasoline-powered motor in the front, up to 240 horsepower. Good Lord, in a Compass and a Renegade, that should send those things flying. And then, of course, for all-wheel driving, even better. And probably next week, I'll get into why hybrids are going to do so well off-roading. And I'm going to start with talking about Rivian and their push for adventure vehicles that are, of course, all electric. Okay, time for another break. I will be back. Hey guys, welcome back. Thank you for sticking with me on the third portion of this episode. That's some Fall Out Boy. Thanks for the memories. And with that being said, thank you guys for the memories that you've given me of having this podcast. And by the way, I have got, I think, around 5,000 listens now. And I don't know how many followers, but thank you guys. Thank you for making this hobby, this something I did to fill the void of, you know, not having a job at the time, and really, you know, making me better with this. Without your guys' input, without you guys following me, I wouldn't have the passion or the drive to really change this and adapt it for you guys. So thank you. You're part of the reason why I've decided to add music, part of the reason why I've decided to split this up into segments. So thank you. I'm going to take this time, actually, we're going to switch gears a little bit, all the puns intended, and take a brief moment to talk about two things. They're not commercials per se, but one, I wanted to do a shout out to my buddy Nemo, aka David Neal. He brought up a really cool thing on Facebook, and it kind of saddens me to see that it never got made, but the Fiat 124 Spider, as we know, is a fun little roadster that's based off of the Mazda Miata that's built in Japan. And they actually just came out with a, not necessarily a track ready one, but a homage to the original, racers, spec racers that they used to make, based off of the 124 Spider and even the GTV for Alfa Romeo. But specifically, Nemo decided to do a render of a lowered, slammed, big rally wheels. A simple body kit, but it's a wide body kit, a really nice spoiler, a great tonneau cover in the back, which does these really nice domes over the back seats, over the front seats anyways. There are no back seats. And just a simple body kit upgrade that really makes this thing stand out. And I have a funny feeling eventually somebody is going to come out with something like this. It's bound to happen if there's enough people who are buying the 124. And I see Fiat, you know, wanting to put time and effort into the 124 because there is a decent following. And it's a great car. It's a lot of fun. It's not going to be your daily driver for the most part. You might pick up one used a couple of years from now when they're, you know, like 15 grand, 12 grand or something like that, and have a lot of fun modifying it. It doesn't have quite the following that the FRS has and the BRZ, but I could... You know, I just want to see this happen. So, Nemo, if you're listening ever, I really hope you make this. And I'm not kidding. One of these days, I will buy one, and I think we should make one. I think we can make some pretty badass fiberglass or 3D-printed fender flares. And a spoiler, and we'll just make this happen. And we'll go to racetracks and have an awesome time. Unfortunately, him and I live super far apart. But... maybe he drives it up here and races up here, and then I fly out there and race it out there. I don't know. We'll come up with something, but that would be my dream. The other thing I wanted to do is give a shout out to, I believe it's Maasai Graphics. That's MOSEYE Graphics. I ordered some decals from these guys. Basically, it's a outline of my Range Rover Evoque, and they responded so quickly. It was the coolest thing ever. They responded super quickly. They were very nice, very easy to work with. But it's MOSEYE Graphics. They're out of Pennsylvania somewhere. I was referred to them by a friend. They do everything from full vehicle wraps to just graphic design and decals for the size of your car. I'm going to continue to go to these guys because the prices are great and the quality of their work is phenomenal. So I actually just had them produce for me a giant Union Jack flag that I can put on the roof of my car. And I just asked them a simple question. Hey, can you guys do this with like that dot matrix thing where it's kind of see-through but not? So like when you're looking on the outside, it's, you know, almost a solid image, but when you're looking from underneath or inside the car, it's see-through. And they go, oh yeah, that's the perforated look. And absolutely, dude, in 4 minutes, I got a proof back in three different golds that I wanted, a different color scheme, like variants of gray. And they showed me perforated and not perforated. I was blown away. And please check these guys out on Instagram. Give these guys a follow. Look them up on Facebook. Look them up on Google. Just check them out because they're great. Anywho, back to cars. Got a few more to go over before we end this episode. Okay, so who loves Aston Martin? Better yet, who doesn't love Aston Martin? I, for one, am a geek about Aston Martin. I think they are gorgeous, and I'm just a big 007 fan. So anytime I hear Aston Martin, I think 007, you know, vice versa. And they go hand in hand for a reason. One, James Bond is badass. He's sleek. He's sophisticated. He's charming. And, you know, he goes fast. Everything he does is fast, fast, fast. Kill, kill, kill. But he's very particular and precise and calculating. That's what Aston Martin is. They are a very well-designed, just iconic brand that can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. And I've driven about five different Aston Martins, the DB7, the DB9, DB10. Have not driven the DB11. I drove a Vantage and the four-door one that they have. And I can't remember what it's called. But anyways, also a freaking awesome car. Nobody thought a four-door Aston Martin would work, but it does. I'm sorry. It does. You want to fight me on that one? Let's fight. Because, you know me, I like practicality, but I also like speed and sexiness, and that had both. Oh, Rapide, R-A-R-A-P-I-D-E. I don't know how to actually say it. I've never heard anybody actually say it, but that's how you spell it, and I'm just going to go ahead and say Rapide or Rapid, Rapide? Who knows? Somebody please correct me, but for now, Aston Martin finally showed off their SUV. It's the Aston Martin Lagonda SUV, but it is still a concept right now. But it looks, from the outside, like this could happen tomorrow. On the inside, on the other hand, this is where things get very interesting. Not only are the material choices just out of this world, they have a floating shifter in the center. So you ever see those magnets that just, they sit on like a little pod thing and they just float and they spin, and sometimes they put like a Mario toy on it, so it looks like Mario with the raccoon suit, and he's spinning around, or Iron Man, I've seen those. And it's just, you know, polar opposites, but somehow it still manages to stay exactly where it's at. That's what this is. And you would just turn the dial and it senses where, the, you know, the positioning of where you turned it. And that's how you shift. Oh my God, that's freaking genius. None of this looks like it'll make it to production, but I wish it would. This is the out-of-box thinking that you need to have as a designer. You need to take things crazy far, but you need to make sense out of them. You need to make them work. You need to have a reasoning behind it. And to be fair, I'm pretty certain Aston Martin just did this because they said, we can. We can do whatever we want. We are Aston Martin. And as Mr. Sketch, me, said, we can do no wrong. So funny thing is they actually have one of those floating things in the backseat too. I wonder if that's like their HMI control thing. Who knows? But go on Autoblog, take a look at it. Look it up on Instagram. It is the Aston Martin Lagonda, L-A-G-O-N-D-A, SUV concept. And before I go any further, I need to say something. British Racing Green and Gold. First and foremost, sexy comp, you know, that's just a great mashup. Second of all, that's what I am doing my Range Rover in. I am getting it either repainted by my students or I'm going to wrap it. And it's going to be British Racing Green. I'm going to have gold accents everywhere, hence the gold Union Jack that is going on my roof. Moving on. Now, I mentioned this before, and we finally know what it looks like. But Mitsubishi was showing off a touring vehicle, a large-scale SUV, kind of like the size of a Grand Cherokee. And not a full-size one, but a larger one, so like the Grand Cherokee. And I couldn't remember the name of it. It's called the Engelberg Tourer concept. It's a mouthful, but it's actually pretty cool, and it doesn't look too far off from production. It takes a lot of design cues that they've used for the Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross and other previous concepts that they've had, and of course it's electric. But there's some things that I absolutely love about this car that I need to talk about. For one, the fog light signature. I've talked about light signatures in the past and how it can really make a statement. This is one of those vehicles that did it right. I still think they could have followed the sort of the face hugger look. And, you know, it would have been a lot of really dramatic shapes. I think there is lighting in there. They're just not showing it in any of these pictures. But regardless, lighting can do so much for your car. And if it's done right, it can look very elegant and very luxurious. And that is something that Mitsubishi could really use in their lineup, because we have the Outlander Sport, the Outlander Hybrid, the Eclipse Cross, and the Mirage. That is it. It's all Mitsubishi has, at least here in the States. In other countries, they have a truck. They have two trucks, actually, the Triton and the Fullback or something. And then they have the Shogun and a few other cars, and then they're coming along, especially in design. And they have a homologation. I can never say that word. Please, somebody correct me. I don't have a dictionary in front of me. They've really brought their design together, much like how Mazda has done it, and they've done it so well with their Coda language, which is the passion of motion or the spirit of motion. And it speaks volumes about the company and their design. It's just, they never seem to bring any of this to production. And I really want to see this thing go to production exactly the way it is, because it's got off-road chops. It's got the hybridization. Well, it's electrification, and it looks pretty cool. And it's definitely spacious. They did a phenomenal job with the interior. Everything just looks very well thought out, and they have a shifter. My God, they have a shifter. It's not exactly a traditional shifter. It's very weird. I have no idea how it works, but it looks clever and it looks fun. And the blue illumination throughout the car with the white leather. Oh, yes, please. And I need to say something about this real quick, because we all hear me give shit about it all the time. It's not an all black interior. Praise the Lord. The interior design gods have heard me, and we have a white, black, really nice brushed aluminum, and blue. And blue seems to be pretty synonymous with electrification or green. I love this car. This thing is just gorgeous. And it looks like it would be a lot of fun to drive and to just be in. Very comfortable. So take a look at that. It's the Engelberg Tourer, E-N-G-E-L-B-E-R-G Tourer. Got a couple more cars here to go through. I'm just super excited about this. We're at 13 minutes, so I'm already over my 30 minutes. But I'm just going to list these down. I want you guys to take a look at them online. Go to sketchbook_audio on Instagram. I'm going to post up a bunch of pictures here in the next hour or so. The next one's the Kia Imagine concept. Not going to say anything more about it other than it's a high-riding sedan, and it's awesome. And I will say one thing. Two things, actually. One, look at the interior. Take a close look at the interior, because like Aston Martin, Kia went in a crazy direction and did something that nobody else has really done. And they did it very well. It might cause a stroke, especially if you're epileptic and you're driving this car. So if you're prone to seizures and strokes and stuff, I wouldn't drive this car, but it's cool. It's beautiful. And they hit a home run with their Genesis concepts that they've done in the past. And they took it and went a step further than that. And those were beautiful concepts. So take a look at this. It's the Kia Imagine concept. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say is this is the route that every automaker is going to go if they have a sedan. Ford just made its last Ford Taurus recently. And I'm sure some people cried. It's an iconic car. I think Ford should still have the Taurus. But if they're going to go in any direction, it's going to be this one. Bring back the Taurus, lift it up, give it a very fastback type profile, and there you go. There you go. It's functional. It'll probably be all-wheel drive. You can make it electric. You just have a tray underneath or some sort of skateboard that you could adapt to other vehicles like the Explorer or anything else. And you've solved your, you know, problem of keeping the Taurus, keeping it relevant, and bringing it into the future for all these people who are just diehard SUV and crossover addicts. And it doesn't have to look like a crossover, right? So great idea. Thank you, Kia, for doing that one. But take a look at it. It's the Kia Imagine, and I think it is beautiful. I got two more on here that I need to talk about, and the rest I'm just going to post on Instagram, and you guys can take a look at them. Tell me what you think. Fiat finally showed off a new car. It's not the car I expected. It's probably not the car anybody expected, unless, of course, you lived in Europe or you worked for Chrysler. But I really like it. It's so much fun. The Fiat Panda, have you ever heard of it? If not, I'm going to post some pictures of it on Instagram because it's such a cute little car. And it's, I think, the best-selling city car in Europe and in many other countries. And for a reason. It's just so freaking cute. But it's also capable, which is, you know, why the Renegade does so well. It's built on the same platform. It is very capable. It's very functional. It's practical. It's safe. And it's fun and adorable looking. So what we have here is the Fiat 120 concept, which means 120 years, which is how long Fiat has been around. I know it's a long time. There's a couple things that they did so well. One of them, the contrasting body cladding. I don't know how much is plastic. I don't know if there's any of this is carbon fiber. I don't know what, but take a look at it. They even show you a breakdown of how all the, like an exploded view of all the parts that go into this car. And it's not a lot. It's very simple, but it looks like kind of how Smart did it, where you could interchange panels. And I think that could go a long way for a car like this, you know, a city car. Something that's going to go to somebody very young, you know, they don't even have a family yet, or something that could be used as sort of a panel. And in fact, they actually show a panel version of this, which is pretty cool. It has got ladders on the roof, but it's a simple city car done very well. And one of the really cool things I love about this is, remember we were talking about lighting in the front and in the back? Signature lighting can do so much for a car. And in this case, it made the car Italian. They have this little illuminated section on the grill. It's actually a throwback to a lot of old cars, but they found a way to bring it back and make it relevant, and that's by illuminating it with what I'm assuming is charge levels, because this is an electric car, but it also shows the Italian flag. How cool. What if you could adapt that little, it looks like four slots that are pushed off to the driver's side? It's like to the, well, it's to the left of the Fiat badge, so next to the T, the big giant T. What if you could change that to whatever flag you have in your country and make it your own? Or what if you just want to come up with your own crazy colors? Why not? That's easy to do. They do it for the interiors of cars, and you can change the color settings. Range Rover allows you to choose like a gabillion colors all on a color palette, color wheel, and illuminate your interior with whatever color you're feeling like in that day. I think that could go a long way. I really dig it. And I also really like the fact that the interior has a tablet and phone holder that is adaptable for a tablet or a phone. you know, while a tablet like an iPod Air or Apple AirPad, whatever the hell it's, iPad Air, you could put that in there. Or if you have a larger phone like my Note 9, you could put that in there. All you do is expand and contract this little slidey thingy, and it works out great. And then they have this cool steering wheel that's got these dials in it, and it just looks so much fun. Even the Fiat logo is an illuminated digital screen, which I'm assuming can change if you're, you know, doing something else. It looks like it also runs off of Google, which is cool. And it even says customization theme selector. So you can change the theme of this. I have no idea how far that goes, but definitely check it out. Autoblog has exploded views. It's got all these different views. It's got renders, interior sketches. It looks like a lot of fun, and this needs to come to the United States. So that's all I'm going to say about the Panda. The Centoventi concept is the electric Panda from the future. Check it out. The last one, and this is my favorite. We're going to end on a high note here. I've been waiting for this car for a while. Why? Because we never got the Giulietta here in the United States. We never got the Mito or the Mito, M-I-T-O. What we could get, and I'm pretty certain this is coming to production because it is on their five-year plan, the Alfa Romeo Tonale, or Tonal, which sounds like toenail. You might even pronounce it Tonale or Tonale. I'm not Italian. Well, I know. False. I am Italian. I don't speak Italian. But I'm going to go ahead and say, because somebody said it sounds like Tonale, it's probably Tonale. The compact crossover, which will probably replace the Giulietta, and more than likely, as I said, come here to the United States. The funny thing is, on the same day that they showed this, Mazda showed off their new CX-30, which is a compact crossover that will fit in between the Mazda CX-3 and the Mazda CX-5. Why they called it the CX-30, I have no freaking clue. It pretty much translates to CX-3. Whatever, they could have just called it the CX-4. I don't know. But these look very similar. The great thing is both of them have very sexy interiors. You want a car that does a production interior well, especially at a budget, you know, at an affordable level, check out Mazda. Their design language for interiors, especially their color choice, is top-notch, and I love it. I love their white and black scheme. I love their dark brownish purple and black scheme. I love it. They do a phenomenal job, and that's definitely a company you want to follow if you're looking into modern design trends and, you know, what can be done affordably but look very different and unique. Now, on the other side of this, you have Alfa Romeo, which is a more expensive car, and you can expect that this car will probably be, you know, starting price in the 30s, much like the BMW X. I'm going to go ahead and probably say the X1 or the X3 is pretty much the Stelvio. So we'll say the X1. It's a pricey ride. So you look at this thing and it's probably going to be about the same price. They're about the same size. But, oh God, the interior is the perfect blend of futurism and now. There's a couple textural things that probably won't translate into production, but I think everything else, the button layouts, the turbo boost gauge. Is that a turbo boost gauge? I don't even know if that's a turbo boost gauge. It could be. This is supposed to be a plug-in hybrid. And here's a cool thing. This is supposed to be based off of, from what I've heard, based off of the Jeep Compass. So, or even the Renegade. Why I say the Renegade? Because they actually had a Renegade on the stage before the show even started, sort of as a placeholder. So this could be, you know, a vehicle, a production vehicle that will be built on top of the Renegade. And that's fine. It's just a little bit longer. It's got a long front overhang, a short rear overhang, and it's just the perfect sporty proportions. Supposedly it's got a lot of design features that harken back to older Fiats, including the GTV and the Brera. And this other car that I've never even heard of, where did it go? The SZ or something like that. But check it out. It's sexy. Let me know if you think this thing should come to the United States and if you would buy it, because I'm going to put my name on the list. I put in my down payment for a Polestar 2. I am super excited about it. But there's one problem I have. It's the fact that I drive really far sometimes and I like just kind of getting lost in places, especially places that don't have charging stations. The Polestar 2 has a great range, but if I don't have a charging station, I'm screwed. So that's why a partial hybrid goes a long way, even if it's a plug-in, because you have that range extender with the gas engine. So this car is going to have a gas engine up in the front, could be turbocharged, and a rear axle mounted electric engine with a battery pack somewhere, whether it's on the floor or in the trunk. And that's probably the smarter car for me to go for. So if the Compass comes here, it says it's supposed to be here as a 2020 model. So probably the end of this year, we'll see it. I know the Renegade hybrid, plug-in hybrid is due out soon. They did show one of those as well. There's a plug-in Renegade. It's called the 4x4E. Well, that's what their new electrification is. They're not basing it off of like the Trailhawk E or having its own hybrid name. It's just much like the Ram and the Wrangler, where you have the e-Torque, you have this 4x4 that's based off of an electric system. The gauge cluster is great. It's a really smart layout for an electric car, and I love the wheels. Somebody please tell me what the hood decal means, because I can't figure it out. Either way, I've got some choices to make if I want an electric car, and I'm glad I have these choices. The Polestar is going to be 50-some thousand versus the Compass, which will probably run me about 32. The Renegade, probably 28 if it's a Trailhawk. But go check them out. Autoblog or Allpar or Jalopnik or Left Lane News. Take a look at those guys. They have tons of pictures. I'm way over time here, but I'm so super excited about the Geneva Auto Show. I had to talk to you guys about everything. And even more, I'm going to show a bunch of pictures on Instagram. So go check it out right now. Comment on there. Send me a message. And in the meantime, between now and the next episode, get your sketchbooks out. Sketch, sketch, sketch. I actually started drawing concept characters again, so I'm going to post some of those up on Instagram. If you guys have any requests, I'll post some of those, or I'll do a sketch and see what you think. I've been working on my motorcycle skills. Not the best. Still working on proportions. And just the fine little details that go inside a motorcycle are mind-boggling. And the guys who actually get that, geniuses and wizards, really. So get your sketchbooks out, sketch all the time, and while you're doing that, just be good to one another. It's cold outside, everybody's got an attitude, but you don't have to. You can just be chill and relax and just love everyone. I don't mean that in a weird hippie way. I just mean life's too short to be angry. So thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate you very much, and we will talk next time here on Sketchbook Audio. Peace out.